Hello and welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for this message. For more information on Celebration Church or to give online, visit us at celebrationedmonton.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Just before I share the word of God with you this morning, I just want to give a big thank you and a little update on Home of Hope and what's happening around the world. When about 10 years ago, you know, when you see orphans and desperate children on TV, it never moved me to get involved. But God told me to go to Rwanda, and I saw the most desperate kids right in front of my eyes. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:16, it says, if you see something desperate in front of you and walk away, the love of God is not in your heart. And that changed my life. God used Africa to change my life, and I got a whole different detour. A little bit later, I'm going to talk about how God leads us and gives us direction and where we're going in the future and the most important things to do. And God led me to start helping orphans. And the best way to help an orphan is not just giving money. It's to plant a local church. And what we have is we have 22 local churches now in Rwanda, and you guys are really involved in North Rwanda. Got a couple of little pictures we can show you. Chiru is where you guys started helping over 9 years ago, and our leader there started overseeing a couple more projects. We plant churches in rural, obscure little areas because the Bible says to go into the outermost parts, just way out there. Then Fidel started over in Western Rwanda, and now he just got promoted as our national leader, and partly because you guys have sponsored him for 9 years. Hallelujah. So give yourselves a clap. Praise the Lord. Can I just have a little bit more monitor up here? I just... need to hear my voice a bit more. And then we started helping children. Children walk 10 to 15 miles through the bush to come to church and to our feeding programs. And now we're helping probably close to 11,000 children. This is a couple months old. 11,000 children in many different ways. And you guys have helped immensely in the last 9 years. I just want to really thank you. And here's a picture of the buildings that you've helped build. This is somebody came on a team and they had one of those, what are those called? Drones, thank you, drones, and you got a great picture of the buildings you built over there in Chiru, and then you heard there was a need for a Christian school. You guys helped start a kindergarten, then they moved into grade one, and then into grade two, and then grade three, and there's always money needed for kids and to go to school, and I'm giving this as a thank you for what you've done so far, but some of you are just finding out maybe about Home of Hope and how committed this church is and partnering together with us. You might want to get involved today. The second thing people do is we encourage you to sponsor children. This church sponsors 150 children every month. People give money every month, 150 kids, and many of your churches come over on the plane, gone with me. You know, it's good to go on a mission trip, but it's better to go on a mission trip with me. And we have different kids. This is one of the children that are back on our resource table. My beautiful wife Connie's helping me back there. This little boy is 11 years old. No mother, no father. Both parents died of AIDS. Often living in the bush or living with whoever could take him in a mud hut somewhere. We find the most desperate kids, also working with the local mayors and the local village chiefs in that area. And here's a picture of some of the babies that we rescue as well. Babies thrown away live in garbages. We rescue them. We try to rescue them before the dogs and other animals. And we rescue them. We've rescued about 150 babies this way. And that's exciting. Especially when you have your grandfather. Now, we have four little babies under 2 years old. And yesterday, we were holding all four of them. And these little babies, you think, how could someone throw someone away like that in the garbage? Sometimes in a plastic garbage bag with the umbilical cord still attached, just tossing them away. And you guys have helped rescue them. And you see some of the pictures of some of your church members that have gone over there. It's always good for local people to see their friends go over with their own eyes and see where their money's going, because there's all kind of weird things out there. This last Christmas, you guys raised a ton of money and fed thousands of kids in this north area. And this is one of the pictures. Look at that. Give yourselves a hand. Huge Christmas. Here's some of the children. The next slide, some of the kids that walk so far, 10, 15 miles one way to hear the gospel, get saved. You know, Jesus taught the multitudes. Then he healed them all. And then he fed them. That's kind of the order we do. We preach the gospel and we minister spiritually to them. And then we try to feed them and many different ways. You guys raise thousands of dollars for animals. One of the best things we're doing right now to help local people raise their own money is beehives. We've done pigs and goats and cows and different things like that. But bees now, bees, because bees are everywhere. And you just set up a beehive and it attracts the bees, and we plant bananas and the bees pollinate the bananas, and then we raise rabbits and the rabbits eat the pruning of the bananas. It's like bee, 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 bananas, bees, and bunnies. And it's just, we're trying always to get different ways to use the money in the best possible way. But one of the best ways is to help the local people who can work get a hand up, not a handout all the time. You guys have also built buildings that are training centers. And where we preach the gospel, you know, you can go. In fact, I'm going over the end of August with Stephen Carmen Lynn from Spruce Grove. And we're going to be preaching the gospel out in the middle of nowhere. 1,000 people can give their lives to Jesus. How can they go to church when they just have this little mud hut that is smaller than this little jet out here? Like living in a doghouse. Where can you put 1,000 people to get saved? You guys are helping build buildings. That's one of them that's built this year. Hallelujah! Preach the gospel, make disciples, plant the church, help children, and that's training centers for microloans and feeding projects and preaching the gospel and your class to find out about the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff you guys do. And you guys are changing people's lives. A couple of things, if you're interested in getting involved, you can help out. Pastor Fidel has moved from that area into our central area to help be the leader over a whole nation, as I said. He needs some extra sponsorship every month. You know, you can rent a house there for $300 Canadian every month, and he's moved into the central area where it's a little bit more expensive. And if you feel you can help sew a gift, even a one-time lump, or $25 a month or $50 a month or whatever you want to give, you can see the back table there. A great man of God who's proven faithful. Someone came to me outside this before the meeting. They go, "Brian, how do you handle corruption in Africa?" And I said, "We go very slowly. Here's $25 for a pig. Give me the receipt. Give me the picture. Then we send somebody to go find the pig. And is there really a pig?" And you have to go very, very slowly, especially, well, in Africa, anywhere in the world, there's corruption everywhere, but especially in Congo. We are advancing more and more. When you find a faithful person, Paul said to Timothy, find faithful. Someone say faithful. Faithful people who can teach others. And so we're wanting to encourage you to get involved in that area. And also, if you want to sponsor children and microloans, there's many different ways we're helping. Let me just end this segment by giving you the Bible verse that changed my life and got me involved with helping the poor. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing. Take care of the poor and God will take care of you. That's my paraphrase, Brian paraphrase. I want to encourage you. What can you do? Maybe you need a miracle or something. You know, giving God 10% gets the blessing of God. When you give your tithes, God opens the windows of heaven. Lots of scriptures. Another way is take care of the poor and God will bless you. And I can testify that when Connie and I, we were traveling evangelists. We were going to places where they wouldn't even pay our gas, but we just served Jesus. When God got us involved, we have never worried about a paycheck in 10 years. God speaks to some stranger that never heard of us, and they sow money into us personally so we can keep the administration fee. I don't take 1 cent of any money you give to Home of Hope. Because I'm taking care of the poor, God's taking care of me. It works. You know what? The Bible works. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Bible works. Find the Bible verses about tithing. Find the hundreds of verses in the Bible about helping the poor. They're all over the place. Psalm 47 gives us 7 different benefits when we help the poor. When you're sick, God will take care of you if you help someone else that's sick. Okay, here we go. I want to talk to you today about the power of your confession. The power of words that come out of your mouth that determine your future. You know, the way you're living right now and where you're at right now is a product of how you've been talking the last year, 10 years. That's what the Bible says. And here's a scripture in James chapter 3, verse 4. A small rudder on a huge ship turns wherever the pilot chooses it to go. And we've always known that, but as I've been meditating, it's really hit me this morning as I was just reading over my notes a bit more. Even through even though the winds are strong. Have any been going through some tough times? Have the winds been coming against you? I think this is the toughest year of my life. And I'm giving you some of the things that are helping me because I'm not slowing down. The winds are tough, but that little rudder. can even stir. How many have been on a cruise ship? I have not seen a rudder on a cruise ship, but they're small. Compared to the size of that gigantic hotel, 18 floors high, that little rudder can turn the entire big ship. And the Bible says that rudder is your tongue. The same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. The words out of our mouths can get us through the toughest times. There's a wonderful lady in the front row here. I've been watching her on Facebook going through a very tough time. But I've never saw her give, listen to this, a negative Facebook comment. Hello! You know, a famous person called Bambi said, or is it Bambi's mother? If you can't say nothing nice, that includes Facebook. She's been saying positive things. I'm going through a trial, but, and she's got positive things. Amen. I admire you, sis. You're a fighter. And tough times never last. Here's a good saying. Tough times never last, but tough people do. Amen. Jesus prophesied and said, in this world, you're going to have tough times, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. We're following the King of Kings, and he's a champion. You know, the older you get, being married for 38 years and having all this litter of grandchildren, you do get a little bit smarter. Look at these wonderful grandchildren. Do we look happy or what? We were having a grandchild every year for 8 years, Planned Parenthood. You know, just. But we have 4 kids under 2 right now. Just like, okay, I'll take this little baby. He's crying. Here, Mom. Here's another baby. Oh, he's crying. Oh, there's a dirty diaper. Grandparenting is really more fun. Oh, something stinky here. But the older you get, the more your priorities change. Because time goes by so fast. If you ever get bored, plug a kettle in, if any of you know what that is. And the steam comes up, and it's there for a little second, and then it's gone. And then it's there, and it's gone. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It's here and gone. And I'm determined more than ever. What am I called to do in this life? And am I doing it? Or am I on a detour? Am I wasting my time? And when we were down in Seattle last year, Craig Rochelle, is that his name? Yeah, Rochelle. He said something that just really impacted me. He said, good people today have positive confessions. And that really impacted me. And I took his little confession he gave that day, and I changed it myself. And this is what's helping me go through a tough time right now. Here it is. Good confessions. Section 1. I encourage you to take notes on this and write your own confession. What's coming out of your mouth every day? If you're fighting cancer, if you're fighting a divorce, if you're fighting a job loss, if you're struggling in the Alberta economy with all the different things that are happening in our nation and political leaders, what's coming out of your mouth? Here's the first section. Jesus is first in my life. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus is first in my life. Not just think it or live it. Say it out loud. Jesus, you are first in my life. I exist to glorify you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first. Not second, third, fourth. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means before you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Seek Jesus first. Come on, someone just go like this. Number one. Is Jesus really first? On Sunday, we can have, by the way, the worship team are fantastic. They're also young. But I just love the, whoever was, yeah, I like the way you just kind of, she wanted to make a point. Smiling. Fantastic. It's good to do that, but God wants us to put him first every minute of every day. The most convicting verse in the Bible, I don't even put it up there because it's too convicting. John 8:29, Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. Any of you guys have daughters living in your house? This is the best verse for them, especially for men. Jesus always did those things that pleased his Father. I quoted that many times to my daughters. What's it really mean to seek God first? It's putting Jesus first every time, all the time in our life. My number one purpose, going back to my confession, what's coming out of my mouth, my number one purpose in my entire life is to win souls and help connect people to Jesus. Acts 20:24. Maybe just jump to the next slide where I can read this verse. Here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. God has an assignment for each one of us. It has to include sharing the gospel with people. Well, you know, I'm shy and I just play the drums and the guitar. No, your number one purpose is not to play the guitar. It's a good thing. Our number one purpose is to share Jesus with people and help connect. You know, I've been witnessing to a guy for 2 years, and I got a text from him finally. I haven't got him to church. I got a text from him. I'm so thrilled. He said, "Brian, you know I'm an agnostic, but I want to come to your church." Just keep working and working and working. Being nice, being friendly, not condemning someone. You are a sinner. Take that cigarette out of your mouth. Jesus came into this world not to condemn the world. Don't ever condemn anybody. Love people. People need more love. They have enough people condemning them. The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful grace of God. My number one purpose in life is to help connect people with Jesus. I go into my world and I make disciples of Jesus everywhere I go. The world will be different because I serve Jesus today. Someone's life, even as we're praying before the meeting here today, someone's life can be impacted if we're just friendly, if we're reading our Bible and praying and saying, "Jesus, use me." The Holy Spirit can lead us and we can impact someone's life. That was a weak amen, but I'll take it. You know, selfishness is empty. My life is worth nothing if I'm just chasing after money, chasing after that pretty girl to marry, chasing after that house, chasing after that motorcycle, which is good. Hallelujah. Here's a couple of my other verses that I build my life on. You shall receive the Holy Spirit's power to help us tell people about Jesus. We don't do it by ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to help us. Telling people about Jesus everywhere we go, starting right here in Edmonton, then in the surrounding little whatever, St. Albert and Spruce Grove. And people go, "Brian, I want to come on a trip with you and I want to preach the gospel." You know what my first question is? Where do you go to church? And what are you doing in your local church? Are you winning souls in your own local church? No, I'm part of the intercessors. Well, good. My number one purpose. Someone say number one. Are you here? Okay, I'll move on. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful. You think you got ugly feet? Memorize this scripture. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. You know, Isaiah 52, verse 7. How do you memorize that verse? Isaiah 52, 7. The older you get, it's a little bit harder to memorize. You know, you try to get this. How do you memorize Isaiah 52, verse 7? How many weeks of the year are there? Ooh. How many days of the week are there?
Seven.
Ooh, see, isn't it easy to memorize? Don't say you can't memorize scripture. Isaiah 52. Our number one purpose, 52 weeks of the year, 7 days a week, is to share the good news of Jesus. People need to hear good news. Even if the Canadian dollar is going up, hallelujah, we still need to hear more good news. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." You know, I love training people in evangelism because we all have fears. It's hard. I've done this for close to 40 years now, but you sit beside someone in an airplane and the Holy Spirit says, "Brian," and I go, "No, God, I'm tired." They look intimidating. This once I'm saying, "God, either give me an empty seat so I can stretch out and put my Bible, or give me somebody to witness to." And the plane is all full. They close the door and they go, "Oh, we got one more person." They open the door and here comes this woman down. She's got leather. She's got gold everywhere. She's coming down. I could smell her 10 feet away. She's coming. I go, "Oh, God." And I'm kind of dressed like a slouch or whatever. I'm sitting there and going, "Oh." And she's this beautiful woman. I'm going, and Holy Spirit's going, "Come on, Brian." I go, "No." No. I'm so embarrassed. I said, "God, please, next time I'll dress better on airplanes." I just said, "Hi, Here's a little outline that really helps me. It's salt, and I'm going to spell out the word salt. I encourage you to write this down. Salt. S, start a conversation with somebody. No matter how you feel, you're too tired, you're too selfish, you're thinking about yourself, you got to get into Walmart and out so quick you don't have time to say God love you to anybody. Start a conversation with somebody, then ask them questions like, do you like the Oilers? You can talk about anything. Ask some questions, and here's the biggest mistake Christians make. They don't listen. Listen genuinely. Do you think Jesus come up to people when he talked to someone? Don't you think he gave them his attention? Don't you feel he could feel love? Prostitutes and sinners wanted to be around Jesus. Love was oozing out of him. Listen genuinely to them. And then at the right moment, tell your story. People like you, what, this is my journey. Talking to Sonia today. Give me your journey in 30 seconds. And she told me her journey, how God changed her life. What a tremendous testimony. You know what? A great idea, whoever's in the media team. Life change videos. Start with Sonia. What a fantastic testimony, how God drug her out of somewhere. Tell your story of how you found Christ and got connected. Try to fit that in. You know, three of the chapters in the book of Acts were not sermons. They were Paul's testimony. I was on my way to kill Christians. I hate those Christians. And a bright light shone, and I fell to the ground, and I heard this voice saying, I am Jesus. Your testimony of how you found Christ is powerful. Sit on an airplane. Sit beside the bus. Sit when you're out in the park or some beach somewhere. Talk to people. You know, I got my wife. You know how I got my wife? I witnessed her when she was out suntanning on an Alberta beach, which means there's not much beach. On this ugly beach in Bowden Red Lodge Park. And I'm out there witnessing. And I said, I just want to share God's love. She sat up and said, why don't you leave us alone? This is my wife before. I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you, but I just want to tell people about Jesus. She goes, how do you know I'm not a Christian? And I reacted wrong. This was 40 years ago. I said, I can tell you're not a devoted Christian because you're wearing a bikini. That's what I said. But you know what? She eventually saw the light. God will use even your mistakes. Oh, I apologize. You know, I've been married to her for 38 years. She's been mad at me 3 times. That was one. Scared me to death. Like, why would I want to marry someone? But anyway. Then try under T. Try. Somebody say try. Try to tell your testimony. T, try to tell the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The Message Bible says, I don't shrink back from sharing God's love with people. Try your best. Give it a try. When people see you're genuine, they'll hear your story. If some of your interests, I usually don't say this, but I was asked to write a book on evangelism and youth ministry. It's on the back table out there. If you want more help and just getting over your fears, I got 10 little steps of how to get out of fear. You know, you won't believe this. I was one of the shyest people I've ever met in my life. I was a farm boy, outstanding in my field. That was a joke. Thank you, Kate. My best friends were pigs. I was shy. And then God called me to be a preacher. It scared me to death. Here's the confession. Going back to the confessions. I was saying earlier that Jesus is first in my life. My number one purpose is to win souls. Here's another one. I'm anointed. I'm empowered. I'm equipped and called to reach people who feel far from God. Isn't that a wonderful verse? The world will be different. Can you say this with me? The world will be different because I serve Jesus today. Say this with me. Edmonton will be different if I live for Jesus today. The world will be different. Edmonton will be different. My family will be different. You know, you're the salt of your family. God wants to use you, aunts, uncles, cousins, every relative, your neighbors. You're the salt of your area. When's the last time you witnessed to your neighbors and friends or just gone over to say hi to them and give them a pumpkin pie or a Costco pie? They're really not that expensive. Here's another section, confessions that I say in my personal life to try to stay strong. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. You know, there's a real good book that says Every Man's Battle. Every man should read that. Every Man's Battle. There are desires that work in us, and the devil is a tempter, trying to tempt all of us, I'm talking to men right now, all of us men to start looking other things and getting our focus off of Christ. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me today. We know that, but we need to say that. Today, wrong desires can be working on me, but I, with Christ's help, can overcome those things. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day. Praise the Lord, even when you get your walker out, you just, hallelujah. No. James 4:8, great verse. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. You want to get closer to God? Some of you maybe came to church for the first time today. You made a great move. You got out of bed, took a step, came here. You take a step, God will take a step. You take another step, God will take a step. Go into the class. Is it today? Sorry, I missed that part of the announcement. Right after this, go to that class. The Holy Spirit, oh my God. You know, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and I kind of was struggling for a bit until I got full of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's power came into my life. I've never been the same. Go to that class. It's powerful. A little bit weak on amens. Here's a good confession. Positive confession, the rudder of my life. I am creative. I'm innovated. I'm driven. I'm focused. I'm blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Whatever you're lacking, draw on the Bible. Draw on the strength of Christ to help us fulfill where we're going. Confessions for personal growth. Here we go again. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. I don't wake up depressed. Someone asked his favorite man, famous man, what is his name? Mel Davis. Mel Davis, do you ever get depressed? Good question. He said, sometimes, but I don't let it last for longer than 11 seconds. I get depressed, and then 11 seconds, God's on my side. If God be for us, who could be against us? I'm going to get my mind renewed. I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to get a fresh word from God. Don't get depressed longer than 11 seconds. Amen. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. I depend on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me every day of my life. One of my favorite verses, I used to sing it with Psalm 73 like Pizza 73, but I won't get into that. Help me memorize the verse. I still belong to you. You hold. God holds. Somebody needs this morning. God wants to hold you by your right hand. He wants to lead and guide you with counsel, leading you to a glorious future. I believe the best days of our life are ahead if we just take hands with God. There's an old song. Anybody over 50? Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Nobody knows it. Okay. Google it. It's a good song. Somebody with an electric guitar, make it more modern. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Amen. Take a hold of God's hand. He'll lift you up out of the miry clay. He'll lead you and guide you to the partner that you really need to marry. I think a lot of divorces, people just didn't hear God's voice. Oh, she's got to be the one. If we're led by our mind and by our eyes, we'll probably miss God's will every time in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. The world will be different if I keep living for Jesus today. How many of you are married? Okay, here's what I say about marriage. Confessing this. Try to do this every day. Not just say I love you to your wife, but say it when you're all alone out loud. I love my wife. And I laid down my life to serve her. You know what she asked me to do today as we were packing up out of the hotel? She said, Brian, can you pick up my shoes and put them in the suitcase? Pick up your own! No, I just... I said, oh, I'm preaching on this today. I better go do it. She wants a coffee in the morning. I get her a coffee. Amen. She said her neck was a little bit sore today. I gave her a little rub and a prayer. Praise the Lord. The best prayers are, you know, the Bible says lay hands on the sick. Lay hands can be a massage. I lay my life down to serve her. Oh, no, I'm the head of the house. I'm the man. The women serve me. Give me some toast. The Bible says that we are to serve one another. Hello? Women, you should be saying amen. Galatians 5, use it. I pour my life into our children and grandchildren. they will serve God. They will serve him with their whole hearts, Deuteronomy. You know, a lot of people, well, let me just, you know, turn the TV off a little more. Spend some time with your grandkids. Get the iPad, if you know what that is, off, out of their hands and talk to them. You know, my wife gave one of our grandsons, what is he, 7 years old, if you read a book of the Bible, this is a few months ago, Connie said, I'll give you $5. And we just had a 3-day holiday with him, and he had finished 26 chapters of Acts. He's a little guy, and like he's, and I said, oh, chapter 27 is really good. Paul is in a boat, and the storm comes. He's going to lose his life, and an angel shows up in the middle of the night to Paul. And little guy, his name is Mike, he goes, gets the Bible. Let's read it right now. We read the Bible together, and we had a whole family. And this little guy, he was reading things like, what's this word? Cappadocia. And there's a couple of big words in it. He's a little 7-year-old. He's fantastic. But we're training him in the Bible. Come on, Paul's going through a storm. He hears God. God uses Paul to save, 262 people on that boat. Great lessons. Get your children and grandchildren. It even says grandchildren. I will love those children and grandchildren. I'll nurture them. I'll train them and I'll empower them to do more for his kingdom than they can imagine. I want to speak every day for my life, but I want to speak into people's lives. You can do it. You're an overcomer. You're a champion. God's got you on this purpose, on this planet for a purpose. Amen. They will fulfill God's purpose for them in their own life. Amen. Because of Christ. Look at this. Because of Christ, my family is closer. My body is stronger. My faith is deeper and my leadership is sharper. The best days of your life are ahead as we serve God. Real quick, couple minutes left. Confessions about the local church. You know, we serve Jesus, but you know what? The local church is God's idea. What Pastor Dennis and Leslie have done in 25 years is so outstanding. They are giving their lives. Yeah, we get up, we serve Jesus, read our Bible, but what practically can we do? The best thing you can ever do in Edmonton is build the local church. It is. The local church is God's idea and it's his priority. So it's my priority on this earth. My community, Edmonton, will not be the same because the Church of Jesus Christ reigns. And everything I do and say, my goal is to lift up Jesus and his church. We had two block parties this week in Red Deer and out in Sylvan Lake. In fact, I talked about 10 people in Sylvan Lake. There's so many people from Edmonton there. And we're inviting, I was trying to invite him to Red Deer. That's where I go to church. But Edmonton, well, I'm there on Sunday. Come, we're telling people about the church. This is where people can come and find Jesus. Everything I do and say, my goal is to lift up Jesus and his church. I love people and believe the best about others. I'm a faithful, listen team, I'm a faithful, loyal team person. And I serve the leaders that God has called me to follow. Being part of the team. The Church of Jesus is powerful and I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a high-ranking diplomat sent from heaven. I do not represent myself. I represent the King of Kings. Whatever I do today, I will do it with all my heart to serve the Lord. Amen. Those are good confessions. I encourage you. Why don't you write your own out? Put it with some Bible verses and what you need to say, even every day for the next week, even every day for the next month, and get your rudder working. If you don't have a rudder working, you're just spinning in circles. The Bible says without vision, you just spin in circle and wherever the waves take you. That's what the Bible says. Get your rudder working. That'd be a good sermon. Connie, maybe write that down for me. Get your rudder working and steer it where you need to go. As I close today, I saw this saying, and it really motivates me to tell people about Jesus. Here's a little, anybody of you guys like cats? My daughter found a little cat picture to go along with it. We need to tell people about Jesus because if I was still lost without God, I hope somebody would overcome their fear. I hope somebody would tell me about Jesus. There really is a God. There really is a creator of the universe. He really did send his only son. He really did die on a cross. We really can have a personal relationship. There really is a heaven and a hell. I wish somebody, if I was lost, I wish somebody would tell me about Jesus. That motivates me. And I want to just encourage you today with our tongue. Your words today can change your eternity. Your rudder needs to get directed properly to Jesus and to God. You know, 16 years ago, my sister's life was totally changed. She quit drinking, smoking, swearing, and swearing at me, my older sister. She was converted in a moment. And I saw her, and I was, my mouth dropped open. And then she left. She went back to Vancouver. And I came home one day, turned the TV on, and there's Billy Graham. And he said, if you need Jesus in your life today, say this prayer. Can you just put this prayer up, Connie? The confession of your mouth. Maybe some of you have never had a serious conversation with God. I just want to read it, and then maybe you can pray it later. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I'm talking about the confession of the words coming out of your mouth. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sin. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Billy Graham, one of the greatest men of God in the last 100 years. I want to encourage you. What do you need to say? The Bible says if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess with our mouth. Let's bow our heads today. My goal is to never embarrass anybody here, but I want to ask the question, if you've never seriously, officially asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never really asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, or you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. My number one purpose is to try to introduce you and give you a simple start to a great future. This moment is the key for you even to go into heaven. If you've never seriously asked Jesus into your life, or you need to come back to God, or you're not sure, I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand up and down real quick, and then we're going to repeat a prayer again. But you want to make sure you want your sins forgiven. Just put up your hand. 1, 2, 3, all over this auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Others, God bless you. Just hold it up so I can see it. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Yes. Just going to ask one more time, people. If you're not 100% sure, please. Believe in your heart there really is a God. Jesus, his only son. And then confess it with your mouth. One more time. You need Jesus in your life. 1, 2, 3. Just put up your hand. God bless you. Okay. Can we all just read this prayer out loud with all the ones that have lifted up their hands? And let's allow the rudder of our mouth to direct us for eternity. And let's live for Jesus every day. Let's go together. Let's read it together. Dear Heavenly Father, follow me. I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sin. I invite you to come into my heart and life. Nice and loud. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. God bless you. My wife and I will be at the table.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're always encouraged to hear about what God is doing in your life, so if you have a story to share, send us an email at amen@celebrationedmonton.com. If you'd like more information about Celebration Church, or if you'd like to give online, check out celebrationedmonton.com.